morning to you, people of Namibia and to the world, and welcome to another powerful edition of the Ex-Convict Diary Show. I'm your host, Benyambiko Jonas, and it's truly an honor to have you joining me this Sunday morning. It's exactly 7 o'clock, and we'll be here until 9 o'clock in the morning. And today, we are discussing a topic that touch almost every human being at some point in life. Because our topic for today is, it gets worse before it gets better. Did you hear that? It gets worse before it gets better. Many of us have heard this phrase before, right? We had that phrase. It does get better. It does get better, son. But it really does get better. But it has to get better. But it has to get worse before it gets better. Right? When we are in the middle of the storm, it can be difficult to believe it, that one day it will get better. One day everything will be okay. When life is falling apart, when doors are closing, when relationships are breaking, when opportunity seems out of reach, like you can't have anything, everything is just going out of your way. When our dreams appear to be slipping away, like everything is just slipping out of your hand, out of your life. And the last thing that we want to hear is that things may get worse before they improve. But when we look at history, when we look at the experience and even our own personal journey that taught us that growth mostly comes through struggles. Growth mostly comes through breakthroughs that are frequently preceded by breakdowns. You have to go through something that will really, really toughen you, something that will teach you a hard lesson, something that will make you so hard. And I want you to think about a seed planted in a ground, right? Think about a seed. Think about you sowing a seed, right? So before it becomes a tree, it first disappears beneath the soil.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today. Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
It first disappears beneath the soil. I want you to look at that. You are just sowing a seed in the ground, expecting it to be something, right? But before you getting the result that you want or a plan that you want, it has to disappear beneath the soil. From the outside, it looks buried, right? It looks forgotten. It looks hidden, like you can't see it. But beneath the surface, something powerful is happening. The seed is transforming. It is developing some roots inside there or in the soil. It is preparing for growth. What looks like burial is an actual preparation of something great coming. And this is the same what is truly happening in our lives, right? Many successful people can testify that their greatest victories came after their darkest moments. Everybody have a story to share. And that is why I keep telling people, you only get to know me better if you have to get closer to me and listen to my story. Period. Right? a young student may fail examination several times before they even graduate or something, or before they become a professional. There is an entrepreneur who may face business failures, who may be into debt, who may be embarrassed in public before they build a successful company. And let's look at an athlete who may lose numerous of competitions before standing out on a podium as a champion. Look at that. Look at such amazing people who fought for something. You are a student today who is going through storms, going through difficulties, going through hardship before you become what you intend to become. You have to go through a process. There is a process that you have to go through. Look at an entrepreneur. Starting from your lowest, with no capital, one could say that, or with just few capitals, finding other experts in the industry, and you will just be there like, my goodness, how am I going to come out? But you have built a foundation, and right now you have a very successful company with a very, very great story. And then that champion on a podium who lost many competitions. So when we only see the success, most of the time we miss the struggle that came before it. I don't know, and that is our problem. There was was it Thursday or was it Friday? I think it was Thursday. Thursday evening, yeah, I was speaking to Mr. Jonah Musheko from Namibian Green Hydrogen. And he's like, young people, we are more desired to succeed, but we don't want to go through a process. We don't want to be patient with the process. We don't want, all we want is just to harvest. We want to reap. We want to have it all. We don't want to go through the process. And that sucks. So it's when we only see the success, now we miss the struggle that came before it. We avoid that struggle. We avoid that preparation. We avoid that amazing journey. Yet the toughest one. But remember, when you become who you want to become and look back, be like, yo, I was being prepared for something great. Look at me now. This is me. And there is no wind that can blow from any direction of this earth and then have to take me away or take me along. Nah. So we should consider the story of someone who grew up in poverty. They may have faced rejection. They may have faced discrimination and so many countless obstacles. There may have been days when one would want to even give up, right? Because giving up, sometimes they'll think that it's easier than you continuing. But we mostly forget that those hardships, they became the very experience that shaped your experience, I mean, your resilience. Those same experiences are the one that shape your determination, shape your character, shape the person you are today. Sometimes life breaks us. They break us not to destroy us, but to build us, to rebuild us stronger and stronger and stronger. And every time you go through an obstacle and come out, you become a better version of yourself. Right? One of the greatest challenges people face today is peer pressure. Peer pressure. I thank God because I have a lot of personalities and characters that I can just fit in and know what to do with my life. I would want to have fun. I'm a Christian. I have to go worship God with my fellow Christians. I'm into leadership. I would want to do this and that, but I know my purpose. I know me. And peer pressure can never overpower me. I like nice things, yes, but nah, I know when to get them. So the greatest challenge people face today is peer pressure, especially young people. Many young people find themselves making decisions, not because they truly want to, but because they want acceptance. They want to be seen. They want to be accepted. And now that desire of acceptance, the desire to belong, that will push an individual towards dangerous choices. You'll be pushed and pushed and pushed. Some are pushed into crimes. Some are pushed into alcohol abuse and drugs abuse. Some are pushed into unhealthy relationships. Or some, they even abandon their own dreams because they want to be accepted by the society. They want to fit in. At first, and my beautiful audience, at first, these choices that we make, they always seem like they are harmless. They may even feel rewarding, but over time, the consequences begin to emerge. What started as a small compromise can now just become a major setback over and over. And that is where the phrase came. It gets worse before it gets better. That is when our title for today, which says it gets worse before it gets better, comes real. Before change happen, that is something that I want you to know. Before change happen, there is usually a moment of realization. A moment when a person look at their life and say, I cannot continue like this. No, this is not me. It can't be me. Penny, you can't be this person. And that realization can be very painful. It can force us to confront mistakes. It can force us to confront our regrets. It can force us to confront our failures and disappointments. But that moment can also become the beginning of transformation, and that is where I want us to go. Let's speak about that is the moment that is exactly where I want us to shift at you beginning your transformation, right? I know and understand that to recover is very uncomfortable. Recovery is really, really uncomfortable. When someone decides to leave behind a destructive lifestyle, remember you will lose friends. You will face criticism. You may experience loneliness. You may struggle and struggle and struggle. You may struggle to rebuild trust with your family members, with your community. You may struggle to even make new friendship. The journey towards healing, it's always, sometimes it feels very, very hard than remaining where you were. The journey towards healing may feel harder than remaining where you were. However, every meaningful transformation requires sacrifice. You have to do something. You have to sacrifice for a life that you want, for a new beginning, and for a new transformation that you made a bold decision that I want to start something new. I want to become a new person. You have to. A person overcoming addiction must endure difficult days before experiencing that freedom. A student pursuing an education must endure sleepless nights before earning a qualification. A family rebuilding after conflict must have a difficult conversation before finding peace, and that is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking about you having to go through something to end something. You have to go through a worse situation before it gets better. You know, one thing about me, and I really, really applaud myself for this. I speak. I express myself, my dear. If I'm not happy about something, I'll complain. I'll bring it up. We have to speak about it. You have to know. You have to be aware that I am not happy about ABCD. Why can't you try to work on it? Because I don't want just to be there suffocating and suffocating and suffocating inside me. And that is how a lot of people are living. You are just quiet. Kama, you don't like talking a lot. You know, talking is what? What do you mean? How will I know that you are not happy about what I'm doing? How I know that you are fed up with my behavior? Communicate. Speak. Exactly how we are saying that. If you are going through an addiction, you have to go through some difficult days before you experience your freedom. Isn't? If you are a student and you need that qualification, you have to spend some sleepless nights studying and studying, my dear. A family that is trying to reconcile and solve some conflict situation at home, you have to go through those difficult conversations, those sensitive conversations before you find your peace. The process is not easy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not easy. But the outcome can be life-changing, and that is how grateful we should be, because the outcome can be life-changing. You know, there is a powerful lesson in understanding that setbacks do not define us. But far too often, society labels people according to their mistakes. We remember people's failures more than their potentials. We focus on where someone has been rather than where they are going. But human beings have an incredible capacity to change. That's true. And some of the most inspiring leaders, inspiring entrepreneurs, inspiring spiritual leaders, educators and communities, advocates, they are the same people who once faced those challenges. Every successful leader of today, they have a story. They have a hard story to tell. Their past did not determine their future. What they did, they used their experience as a fuel for their growth and purpose. Now I know better. I will do better. You are aware of your situation, your experience, your past, all that you have to go through. Now you have to put that into practice. You have to make it work. You have to change the dimension of everything. Isn't? They will use their experience as a fuel for growth and purpose. And this is really important for our young people listening this morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a young person and you are listening to this show or this topic, you should feel really, really grateful, because this is a life-changing program whereby, if you are going through something and you feel like you want to give up or something, think about it again. Give it a second thought. Perhaps you have made mistakes. Perhaps you feel stuck somewhere. Perhaps you are facing some circumstances that seem impossible to overcome. You may have experiencing rejection, experiencing failures a couple of times, going through unemployment, sending out your CVs and attending interviews here and there and nothing is making sense, going through a heartbreak because of some ungrateful people, or maybe you are going through some disappointments. Today, this show or this message is yours. Be assured that this current situation that you are going through, this is not your final destination, my darling. Not at all. The chapter that you are right now is not the entire story. Get to know people. Hear from people. Even the president herself, she have a story to tell. Even a counselor of your constituency have a story to tell. Even your lecturer have a story to tell. A nurse that is attending to you, she have a story to tell. The governor, the mayor, everybody, even me sitting right here in this studio, I have a story to tell that have changed me, that made me new, that made me a person that... Be assured that the chapter you are in right now is not the entire story. You know, many people quit just because they are breakthrough. Many people give up because they mistake a temporary struggle for a permanent reality. They assume that because things are difficult today, they will remain difficult forever. But life has a way of surprising us. Life has a way of surprising us, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes the very same obstacles we curse today becomes the testimony we celebrate tomorrow. Sometimes the pain that nearly broke us becomes the experience that allows us to help others. Sometimes the failure that embarrassed us becomes the lesson that leads us to success. And that is why perseverance matters the most. That is why faith matters. That is why purpose matters. And that is why you know better today and you will do better. Because when we understand that difficult seasons can produce growth, we begin to view challenges differently. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me, my God? Why am I so unlucky? What is this experience teaching me? Why? Ladies and gentlemen, today's conversation is not about hardship. It is about hope. We are talking about hope. We are speaking about redemption. We are speaking about second chances. We are discovering that even after poor decisions, even after setbacks, even after difficult circumstances, a better future remains possible. A better future remains possible. And our guest this morning embodies many of these themes, ladies and gentlemen. His history reminds us that no matter where we come from. No matter what pressures we have faced, no matter how difficult the road has been, transformation is always possible. Transformation is always possible when we choose purpose. Transformation is always possible when we choose faith. Transformation is always possible when we choose determination. And ladies and gentlemen, stay with us as we explore a very, 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 very powerful journey of overcoming peer pressure, navigating a lot of life's challenges, embracing faith, pursuing education, and become a voice of empowerment for others. And that is when we welcome our guest for today, Mr. Joab Wilenge, that we are going to listen to him. But I want you to leave you with this, that your struggle is not the end of your story. I repeat, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But if you keep moving forward, better days may be closer than you think. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just go for a very, very short break, whereby we are going to listen to a short song, and then we can bring our guest in the studio. Stay tuned. All right, beautiful audience, and welcome back. As I told you that we'll be expecting a guest in the studio, Joab Wilenge, that is going to share with us his inspiring journey. Joab, good morning and welcome to the Ex-Convict Diary Show. Please, it's good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Good morning, ma'am. It's a pleasure to be here, ma'am.
All right. Maybe you can also just greet your audience. I mean, the audience on board, and then we can just start with our story for today.
All right. Greetings, the land of the brave. Mm. And every listener that is present here, okay. It's wonderful to listen to Eagle FM. And welcome to the Ex-Convict Diaries as we dive in.
All right. You know, when we are speaking about the Ex-Convict Diary Show, Joab, we are not just referring to people who were once incarcerated, who spent time in prison or something like that. We are also looking at people who were once life knocked them down, and then they come out brave with such inspiring stories as yours. And today, we want you to share your story as well. Maybe from the beginning here, you can just give a pre-review of yourself. Who are we speaking to exactly? Who is Joab Wilenge?
Okay, so first of all, I would love to thank you for this opportunity. Mm. And shortly, if I am to give a historical background of myself,
okay.
This is a young man who was raised in the rural areas of Ohangwena region.
Okay.
Specifically on Dudu village, mm. in which is now Ongenga constituency.
Okay.
So I am someone who has been brought up in a household that really upholds the values of education.
Mm.
Yeah, not that much of Christianity to say, but there is discipline from my parental background.
Mm.
However, you know, if one is from a household that is full of discipline, that does not always determine that they will be disciplined all along.
Mm.
So, during my upbringing, in my years of childhood development and then teenagehood, of course, I was a naughty boy in my own capacity.
Okay.
Despite the discipline and despite the fact that my mother was always, you know, pushing that I commit to my studies. So that is where I found myself enrolling in private schools, mm. for some few years, and then I was always back in town and then to the village. So
okay.
I'm exposed to both areas of rural and urban.
Mm.
I fast forward, I attended my high school at Oshigambo High School,
okay.
grade 8 to 10. And My grade 11 to 12, I attended Gabriel Tapopi.
Mm.
You know, the famous one.
Okay.
Yeah, now, what happened is, in terms of, if we are to look at the prelude of this discussion,
okay.
You know, it gets worse before it gets better.
Mm.
I found myself upon my enrollment in high school's studies. I found myself, you know, mingling with the wrong people, or maybe I should say bad friends or associates, where I started, you know, learning some unacceptable behaviors.
Okay.
You know, when a boy child goes to high school, they would be put in some circumstances where they are forced to fit in some groups.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's a boy child that is just growing up, one that just came from a short background that is somehow exposed to rural, urban, you know,
okay.
the location. And to urban area. So now, when I came to high school, there I started smoking.
Mm.
I found myself smoking, you know, and I was not to say smoking because I had problems or whatsoever. It was just a matter of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to find out. I want to find out if I take this smoke into my lungs and it comes out. How does it feel? How does it happen? So it was curiosity. I've always been a curious person.
Okay.
And talk about that.
So
activities like.
Okay.
Uh huh.
So you started smoking while in high school.
While in high school.
Because of curiosity, you just wanna find out on how that feels or how you feel when you once you smoke or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember. You know. One of the circumstances was just you seeing people going out of the, you know, the school, and then out of curiosity you follow them and you find out, oh, they are rolling a blunt.
Mm.
Yeah, so you are left with no option but, you know, to fit in because you don't want to to displease them or to disappoint them.
Okay.
And then you adopt that. So I adopted that. I mingled with, you know, cliques or what we call gangs.
Mm.
And, you know, when I reflect and I see that I have leadership qualities,
okay.
In our cliques, I was always, you know, the leader.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was. That is who I was. Whenever I learn something, I become so good that I become the leader of that specific program or initiative. So now that means that I gained too much interest, and I think that is what we could define as addiction because, you know, it became my lifestyle.
Mm.
You know, in my high school days, I was into music, and obviously I was making secular music. I was a rapper. In my high school days there, I was well known as a rapper. Everyone knew, and I went by the name Joe No Stress.
Joe who?
Joe No Stress.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, of course, I would be performing and, you know, these things, you know, youth is a very wonderful moment that never comes back. You know, once you pass through, it's either you do right or wrong, and it's either you learn a lesson or not. If you do right, then you will not have to regret later. And if you do wrong, obviously, you will live the rest of your life regretting or trying to improve.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would maybe be shortlisted for, you know, performing artists in a show, and obviously before going to perform, I and my friends would get high before we go perform because we have that impression of and that influence that came from even, you know, watching social media videos and following up on movies that once you are under the influence. Now, for us, it was generally cannabis, not really, you know, cigarettes and so on.
Okay.
But you had that belief that once I'm under this influence, I will perform well with vibe and give energy to the people. And we just had that belief that when we are under this influence, we are the top dogs. We are, Yeah, we are the guys. but it was very funny how at first we were very smooth about it. No one really knew we were into that. Okay. And that's why now I'm open about it, because I know I've given up on that. I have become a new man now. But back then, nobody really knew. And it was in our grade 12 year,
okay,
where we started being realized by the people. People started noticing that I think these guys are up to something.
Okay.
Yeah. So now the good part is I never gave up on my star business.
Okay.
Despite that, I always focus. So, you know, after maybe we sneak out of the school.
Hmm.
I remember we'd sneak out of the school, and when we come back, I would still sneak out of the hostel to go study.
Okay.
So that was me. I never gave up on my dream.
Hmm.
So the focus was there, but I think the influence was coming from peer pressure.
Okay.
The fact that you want to fit in, you want to, you know, to appear as you are, you know, the best guy, or you've got the energy around.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is what led. And I think that is what is leading a lot of youth members, a lot of young boys and girls into the wrong associations or the wrong activities, because they are under the influence of their peers and they want to impress them. Because obviously, if they say, no, let's go to San Remo, and you say, no, I'm not going, obviously they'll say, no, you are boring, you will stay alone in the hostel, or you just be at home there like a mama's boy and so on. So obviously no one would want to be called a mama's boy and so on. So they would go, and that means they are going out of, it's not within their free will, but it's without their free will. And that is why a lot of young people end up, regretting later. Now, the thing is, regretting later does not help you, because it might be too late.
Okay.
You might contract a specific disease or virus or cancer or so on, or any other aspects. You may lose your focus completely, whereby maybe you have lost your intellect. You don't even have the interest to go and further your studies with, you know, universities anymore.
Mm. Since you guys have been going through all that, you smoking, doing unnecessary stuff that you were not supposed to do as a learner in high school, what happened exactly? Like, did you now make it to varsity, or you faced some of the challenges and circumstances that you have really to go through before anything else? Or maybe can you also just tell us specifically on your performance academically in high school, and where you went from there, or maybe some incidents that happened before your transformation or anything related just to that.
Okay. So my performance was more of average. It was not so top-notch. It was more of average, but I know the capacity I hold. I'm supposed, even my parents would expect me to perform more than that. So I was below their expectations. But the good part is I always passed, but not with the, you know, the best maybe marks or results. Now the thing is, I remember I think around August day, that is where people used to apply for their universities, right?
Okay.
Instead of applying for our opportunities at university, we were in trade fair there. We were supposed to be in trade fair applying, but we were in trade fair there, just busy drinking. That is what was happening.
Okay.
So the focus was not there, and I am not even ashamed to share that, because, I mean, you learn from your experience, or you learn from your mistakes. You know, when you are told, no, you must apply within the proximity of the northern area of Namibia, you are applying at Windhoek, and, you know, you are told, I remember, I was told by my mother that if you're applying to Windhoek, of course you are going to pay for yourself, not I. So some of those aspects have really shaped who I am now, I thought she was strict, but she was really directing me into the right path. Mm. So I did not receive any admission letter until I completed my grade 12. I did not have any hope of, you know, going to further my studies or so in university. So I was just there. I did not have any plan, really. Mm. So my plan was just how I had almost accepted that I am just a normal guy from the locasi. Okay. That is who I am.
So, meaning there was no motivation for what?
There was no motivation. That is the point. Mm. And yeah, and I remember I did not engage in many activities of youth empowerment. And that is one of the things that are needed right now. We need more initiatives on youth empowerment. Mm. We had no exposure to that. And on the other hand, our biological family members never really had an idea. For example, our parents never really had an idea that we were engaging in such activities. Mm. I mean, when you go home, obviously you are a different person, you know. You are a good child, chilled, disciplined. You are being sent on errands and you are running, you know. So they would not have any idea about that because, you know, obviously, the youngsters are busy doing things, especially those in hostel. They are busy doing things out of knowledge of their parents, and it's also necessary for parents to follow up on the lives of their children. So for me, personally, in my grade 12 holiday, that's when everything happened. That is where the transition took place. I remember I used to, you know, engage in maybe holiday job. I remember my holiday job was, I was assisting at one of our siblings at home there in the village. And obviously, you know, the process still continued. I obviously was drinking, I was consuming alcohol. I was still consuming my cannabis and so on. Mm-hmm. And I remember on the 10th of January, the year 2020, that is where I was caught. It came to the knowledge of my parents that I am dealing with such. Mm. And when they found out, I cannot even express how disciplined I was. I was disciplined. Mm. I know you know how an African parent will deal with such a child. Mm. So I believe I'm an ex-convict as well because there was a chance for me to be reported to the police.
Okay.
And thank God that did not happen. So, and that was one of the first moments I remember really praying. You know, you never went even to a church that taught you how to pray hardcore, but that night when I was caught and I was being beaten, I was praying hardcore prayers that, Lord, save me today. I'm going to save you. That was just my prayer. And I was giving my life to Jesus. You know, it's funny how, you know, you find people that say they don't believe in God, but when all hell breaks loose, they will pray. I was there, Lord, I'll give my life to you. That day, I could have even have died because, you know how African parents respond to such. Remember, my father was also present there. He was so disappointed. He was like, you are no more my son. I cannot have a son who is taking drugs. I cannot have a son who is not focused. You know, I better just do you away with it, you know. You never know what they could have thought of. But thank God that did not happen. So, I was just, they took it all into their hands and they disciplined me right at home. So because I was given two opportunities, I mean options.
Okay.
It's either we report you to the police deals with you and you get arrested, or we deal with you ourselves. I said, please deal with me. Yeah, so now, during all that weeping, all that discussions we had with them as they were confronting me, I realized I need to change my life.
All right. Let me just hold you there. Let me just hold you there before we go to the amazing, amazing part of our discussion today or of this story. I want you to, you have mentioned of peer pressure as one of the major influence in your life. Right. And I believe peer pressure is also one of the biggest setbacks in many young people's lives towards them becoming out and thrive. Right. I need you to what were the specific pressures that you were facing and how did they affect your choices about life? Pressure from how did peer pressure really really affect you and your decisions and your choices?
Okay, so there is a proverb that says you are who you say you stay with. You are who you stay with. You are what you eat, you are what you consume, and so on. So obviously I was surrounding myself with people that have the mindset that my life is just to continue consuming these unwanted substances and just live, just to live without any without any idea of your purpose. So I did not have a purpose of life. And someone who did not have a purpose of life, it means I was not planning ahead that much. I was not strategic. You know, I had no idea of who I wanted to become in 5 years because that is strategic planning. Yeah, so obviously any decision I would make, I would make it just to survive the day. And another thing is financial discipline was weak. Because if you look at the fact that, I know it's a sensitive topic, but of course our youngsters are consuming drugs. You know, and all other unwanted substances like, you know, the hookahs and pipes and so on. Some of them are putting Dacha on those cannabis pots.
I mean on those hookah
pipes and so on. So those are the things we involved ourselves in, and all you would think of is just pleasure. I want that feeling.
The excitement.
Can you go back again in the evening? So from maybe smoking one Dacha cigarette in a day to doing it 3 times, and that is addiction. And I would not blame somebody who is in such a situation because, you know, according to science, that person is having that, there is that chemical that is released when you are pleased and you are happy and you want, and you want, you know, to experience the same thing so that, you know, that chemical reaction will calm down.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kilograms of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Chemical reaction will calm down. Yeah, so that is what was happening. So anything I was, whatever it was concerning my money, obviously was just to, you know, please myself, that's all, never to invest. But the youth needs to invest in their future. The youth needs to, you know, come up with business strategies that will keep them away from unwanted activities. I was not thinking like that. Now I am focused. Now I know each and every day counts. Each and every minute counts. Each and every minute is a minute for you with fresh blood to do something that will contribute to sustainable development in the community. That is not the mindset I was having. Yeah, so the decision making was really weak because now, on the other hand, whether it's on whatever aspect of life, even if it's with studies, I would not sit down really and say, what do I want to study? Why do I want to study it? Does it meet the market demand? No, I was never exposed to that. And obviously, instead of attending in maybe programs that would shape, that would have shaped my character at an early stage, I was mingling with, you know, entertainment and so on. I was just all about entertainment. But if if the youth, or if I could have done that in the past, you know, they used to engage in youth empowerment activities, whether it's anything that has to do with mental health, psychology in general, there are, you know, social clubs out there. There are also, you know, faith-based organizations that can be church service or a choir or whatsoever that can contribute to your livelihood and your mental health as a young person. And then Namibia would be a different place. So, exactly. I was, that is the person I was. I was not making the right decisions back then.
Joab, those people that you were with in high school, do you still see them around? Or perhaps you guys forgot about each other and then you don't remember that anymore? What stuck in your memory? I mean, your mind is just memories that you had with people, but you don't even cross paths with them anymore. Or do you guys still see each other? You all got transformed. You are all inspiring leaders now or something. Or maybe all that have just ended in high school. Or what happened?
Oh, thank you so much, Madam Penny, for that question. So, yeah, I mean, we had a really strong team, you know, despite the fact that we're engaging in maybe some wrong activities. Of course, we had unity, and it is where some of those memories is where, even though we were in the wrong activities, is where I learned how to be united, how to be a team player. You know, to uplift one another. Of course, I would encourage each others. Back then, I would encourage others that you need to study smart and so on. However, after grade 12, as much as I have followed that, I know some have, you know, people have gone in their different pathways. That is what happens life after school. I know some went to study at different tertiary universities. Some went into agricultural farming. Some went into, you know, different trades, you know, named and so on. But I'm not really in much connection with most of those people. So, but I know there is a concern to say, did you not reach out to the others to empower them to come to your stage? I have made efforts to do that. So, one of the initiatives that I did, as soon as I got transformed at the early stage in 2020, since I knew that I was very influential, I would come up with any, even if it's a funny joke or it's an initiative or it's a phrase, a motto that would be mentioned by people. The whole school would adopt such a style. Yes. So now I knew that since I'm an influential person, I knew still that there was a lot of people that learned a lot of bad examples from me. So in the year 2020, at the beginning of the year there, I teamed up with one of the sisters, an associate of mine, a friend that I had. And we went to visit Gabriel Tapopi Secondary School, because that is my previous school where I matriculated. And I spoke to the principal, Mr. Elu Zakaria, and I asked for permission if I could visit them on their first day from the holiday, just to empower or inspire the youth. And I went there. I gave something that was more of a motivational speech, more of a sermon. I remember doing that. And I did that without training, I remember. So it was just out of that passion and that burning eager that, what about those that I have led or misled? Yeah, so I managed to go there and, you know, talk to the youth that were there that I am now a changed person. Please, don't follow the example of the man I was. This is who I am now. So I remember I spoke about a lot of, projections. By projections, I'm referring to maybe plans that, you know, if you get focused, you would maybe complete your studies and perhaps you would become a leader, or perhaps you get married or whatsoever. And it happened. Since I continued walking my talk, some of those aspects or some of those achievements are the ones the Lord has provided for me. And I'm saying that to inspire the youth.
Now, Joab, take us through your turning point when you realized that your life was heading in the wrong direction and you needed to change. That one moment when you realized that, no, man, like, this is not me. I can't be this man. I'm destined for greatness. I'm destined for purpose. And like, I need to change me. Take us through your turning point. What happened exactly? Did somebody come to you and say, let me take you to a church? Let me take you to some witch doctors? Maybe you are tormented or something.
Yeah,
or come, let me take you where? What happened for you to become new and just start your transformation journey?
Okay, so the thing is, if you see that you struggling with different battles in life, life challenges, for example, to mention addiction, you know, whenever one opens up about being addicted to substance abuse, you know, the youth are like, or maybe other people are always like, no, for me, I am not like that. So for me, I have nothing to do. But that's not the only, you know, habit that the youth can get addicted to. The youth is addicted to a lot of things. Yeah. And also they are suffering and fighting different battles. Some are fighting depression. Yeah, so personally for me, I like I mentioned the date, 10th January 2020. That is the day I just sort of hit. When I went back to sleep, that is where the turning point happened. I just started thinking, what have I done? Is this the person I want to be? I mean, do I really want my parents to start doubting me and lose trust in me? You think about it. What am I doing that will make my future better than today? Yeah, and also the good part is it is always good to create a circle of people that can encourage you. Of course, I had people that used to motivate me. I appreciate the fact that, of course, there were people that used to pray for me, even if I don't know them. But I have a strong conviction that there are people praying for you. There are people wishing you well. There are people who believe in you. So that is, I think those are some of the aspects that contributed to who I am today. So I would meet someone and they would just say, ah, my brother, this is not who you are. I feel like if your biological family find out that you are into this, I think they'll be disappointed. So some of those were seeds. Some of those expressions were seeds in my life. They have sown a seed in my life that I ended up, you know, reflecting on all those things that I need to repent. I need to be transformed, or I need to refocus my life. You know, my motivation or my personal belief was, I remember I was more of a rasta even. I'm not discriminating those that are having such a belief, but as far as I can look back and interpret my life, I think I was not having a plan for my life. I was not focused. I did not know who I was. So from there, that is now when I decided, let me just start over. So my starting over means I deleted even contacts. I had to delete contacts of the past people that are anyone I feel like this one has a bad influence. I had to start over completely. You will find yourself in such situations where you just have to reset. To reset your life. I deleted some accounts. Social media accounts, because they were having, you know, traces of my past life, and I had to delete them just to start over. You know, you are trying to figure out what to really do, so you have to humble yourself and clean every aspect of your life and start over a new page. I remember I had to also prevent myself from entering some places where I know I cannot enter anymore. Otherwise, I'll get that same influence. Yeah, I stopped going clubbing. Yeah, I stopped engaging with the wrong youth. I would just engage with people that are more on motivation or spiritual enlightenment. Or I was more into, I spent most of my early years in the studio. That because I decided to even create, I composed an album. Like I said, I'm also a musician on the other hand. So I composed my first gospel album, which is titled Disciplined Life. And I had 7 songs there. And it was really being listened to by the youth. I think it was one of the songs that were listened to by people that knew me in the past, and they really came back. Some called me and they were like, "We are really inspired by what you are doing. We are really happy to find out that you have changed." Because in that album, I just expressed myself that I have become a disciplined person. And one of the songs in there is titled Self-Discipline. Self-discipline, and I was featured by one musician. He's also he's an engineer. He studied, and in that song, I mentioned that self-discipline.
I think. All right, Joab. Our theme for today's discussion is it gets worse before it gets better, right? So I want you to, like, now according to your journey, and now aligning it with our theme for today, it gets worse before it gets better. How will you connect this to your story, maybe highlighting some of the lessons that you learned, and where you are right now, some hardships, struggles, or anything that you went through. Like, you taking yourself back and realize, like, man, I came from far and I'm proud where I am today, regardless of now the hardship and all that I have to endure to be where I am today. It really gets, it gets worse to get better. Maybe you can just, take us through that.
Okay. So indeed, it does get worse before it gets better.
Yes.
Yeah, because if I'm to reflect back and see myself, the person I was, wearing my torn jeans and my hat that is folded in a South African Kwaito style, just to think of it with maybe some dreads in the head there, you know that hairstyle of having dreads. You know, as I'm saying these things, I'm reflecting personally to my life, and I'm not discriminating whoever is in such a status. Just to think of it now, the person who I am, I can see that it can only be God's grace for someone to transform like that. And now I can really see that first, you have to go through the worst situations of life because you are being prepared for bigger platforms, for bigger challenges, and so on. So if you don't go through those obstacles in life, you will not learn how to solve problems. If you don't go through problems, you will not learn how to make decisions, the right decision making. So you have to make the wrong decisions first, and then you will learn how to make the right ones, because you are now exposed to the wrong ones. So that is what I've experienced, that one has to go through, we call it preparation time, or the room of patience, where God reveals you to different aspects and dynamics of life. He will permit you to receive some challenges that will train you. Because I am inspired by scriptures. Of course, I don't want to preach, but there are some scriptures that inspired me, like James chapter 1, verse 2 there to 4, which states that, do not, be sad or angry when you are going through hardship. Because that hardship is working out your character. Your character is being developed. So after your character has been transformed or you are matured, then you shall be filled with joy. And that is what I was going through. Now, when I look back, I have forgiven myself. I have forgiven anybody that had contributed to, you know, peer pressure.
Okay.
And I have accepted that. I was just undergoing training. Because right now, we are on this program, the ex-convicts diaries. And as we are reflecting, we don't just mean to expose ourselves, but we mean to inspire the youth and to give them the reality of the matter that you can change. It is never worse. It is never too late, I mean. It is never too worse that God cannot change your life. So that is what happened. I never had that much of interest for studying. I found myself falling in love with studying because I am no more, my time is no more invested in other unwanted activities.
Okay.
If I'm not engaging in youth empowerment, I am perhaps engaging in studies or doing some research online there just to find out about what are the trends in the world right now, what is going on, how can I contribute, how can it be applied to my environment, Namibia. Yeah, so that is now who I am now. I am just into what can make tomorrow a better place or a better time.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is how I connected to the theme of today, that it is never too late. And if you are alive, this is what I tell myself. For as long as you are alive, that means God is not done with you. And it means that there is still room for improvement.
Okay.
It means there is still room for new opportunities.
Okay.
It means that there is still the opportunity or the possibility of your transformation. You know, I'm seeing guys like there's a guy trending there. I know, of course, he might be experiencing his setbacks and also he might have his shortcomings, but there's a guy trending on TikTok called Kwatamo.
A guy who?
Kwatamo.
Okay.
The one who is trending for mentioning the phrase Shoda.
Okay.
So he's a young man, he's at the age of 34, and he's also an ex-convict.
Okay.
And I don't know how his transformation happened, but now you can see he's realizing that he is of value in that society. He reflects on his lifestyle and he's like, no, my life was just all about, you know, getting my knife and robbing people. As long as I get a phone and sell it, I get money, I don't care. But right now, as we speak, he's selling his T-shirts. People assisting him. He's running a brand, and they're also running his TikTok account. They're making videos of him, you know, engaging in creative industry. So I don't know his complete lifestyle, but that is an example of when we say it gets worse before it gets better. No one knew he would become a better person. No one knew he would come from dust to grass. Right now, if you look at him, he's well dressed up, all clean, and different companies are funding him, including even barbershops now. They are, you know, cutting him for free so that he can market their business brand. So the youth must know that it gets worse before it gets better. Don't give up on your life and say, now I spent 4 years without going to university. I think now these people that are graduating for me, I am worse. I'm rubbish. I'm nobody. You are not nobody because God has put a breath in your life. As long as you are breathing, that means if you can wake up and stand on your feet, that means there is still room for change. I mean, there are people on their wheelchairs. When you start, you know, feeling down, you must look at people that are in worse situations than yours. There are people who are on wheelchairs, someone living with disability, and yet they wake up going to work. You know, someone who did not eat the previous night, yet they still wake up and say, let me go to school or let me go do something. So...
And John, that is why I keep telling young people that everybody out there, they have a story to tell. Every great reader, every leader out there, they have a story to tell. They had, you know, that past has motivated them to work so hard.
That's right.
That was a preparation.
It's a preparation time.
Yes. And that is why I want us to talk, now that you even said that you are a Christian born again, right? And I believe that you being a Christian, it also one of the things that played a role, like, in your journey for who you are right today. But believe me, Joab, there are a lot of people, especially young people, who don't even have faith. You know, faith is one of the things that keeps us going. Faith is something that will give you assurance that, okay, you are doing this right now. Be assured that you have good results. Something like there is a better tomorrow. But a lot of us, we don't have faith. Maybe now, coming from you, how did faith influence your transformation, and what impact did it have on your outlook on your on life?
Wow, that is a wonderful question.
Right?
And I like the way you have, you know, brought in the aspect of faith or the elements of faith into transformation. When we speak of transformation, we can never count out faith.
Yeah,
because for someone to be transformed, of course, they were looking forward to become someone they could not see physically, but spiritually. You put an image within your heart and on your mind, and you say, this is not who I am. But this is the person I want to see. They don't see the person, but I want them to see him by me becoming transformed. Even every day, you now make peace with yourself, learning. Each and every day is a new learning opportunity. So that is the mindset I had and I developed, because I started praying. Of course, even though I was in my bad influences, I of course used to pray that, Lord, I want to change. I remember also during my high school days, I would tell people, guys, this term I really want to change.
Okay.
And I learned that some of those things they are not so good. I learned from my mistake that every time I told people I want to change, I never changed. And I think I was caught by someone's words in high school when they said, Joab, if you want to change, you don't need to tell anybody.
Okay.
But you just have to start already from there. Start changing already. Instead, let the actions speak on your behalf.
Okay.
So that is now what I decided to engage in. I decided to just go silently. Like I said, I deleted my contacts. I cut myself off from different places. I was no more appearing. I remember I was also off social media for quite a while, just working on myself. You know, during preparation, you have to undergo isolation. And in that process of isolation, that is when now God comes and speaks to you. That is where God now comes and encourages you. You start developing faith that I can become a better person. That is faith. Because what is faith according to the scriptures? Faith is the hope in substances that we cannot see. You know, when you believe in the things that you cannot see, that is faith. Because you find someone, they have nothing to eat. And they will say, I am not hungry. I am filled in Jesus' name. Now you will think they are running mad, because how are they saying they are full or they are satisfied when they have nothing to eat? It means they are content. You have to be content with what you have at that moment and who you are at that moment, and make peace with learning each and every day. You know, when I began transforming, of course, there were times where I found myself, sometimes I fall down, but I never allowed that falling down to define me, that I am a downfaller. I picked up myself immediately and continued. Yeah, I think I give the same advice to everyone listening, that if you really want to become a transformed person, you don't need to announce it. Just begin today. Begin today, find the right people that can give you the advice. They are psychologists, they are social workers, they are pastors, they are counselors. you know, they are trusted associates and trusted elders within the society.
Mm-hmm.
And if you engage with them, you know, they are also medical practitioners if it's concerning health.
Mm.
And you will find out that when you engage in silent transformation, you will achieve your results, because there is no one to follow up and say, he has fallen or she has fallen or she has not reached their objectives. Only you and God and your mentors, that's all.
Mm.
Yeah, so those are some of the aspects. So when I started growing now, I started reading the Bible, and I was inspired by biblical stories, and I found myself in 2021, I was introduced to the holiness faith, and I got born again in the Christ Holiness Church of Namibia, where I gave my life to Christ, and I was shaped into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately upon being born again or being baptized, I was appointed into leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I became an evangelist. And, you know, when the youth are given the responsibilities to lead, it helps them to stay away from other bad activities, because you have that feeling that I have responsibilities on my shoulders. I cannot go clubbing again.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that I need to encourage.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have duties that I have to, you know, perform. That's why I mentioned of faith-based organizations like church leadership or mental health organizations. We have, you know, associations like the Second Chance Foundation is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is Good Hope, there is all other mental health programs, and when the youth engage in those, they will stay away from bad activities. Find something that you can do that will replace the bad habits that you had. Because if you don't have something new to do, then you will obviously think of your past life, and you say, but back then I was having peace. I was having something to do.
Okay.
So that is what I engaged in. I became an evangelist in a very long period of time. I think after a year or two, I became a pastor.
Mm.
And I started, you know, adapting to church, spiritual leadership.
Okay.
After that, I was honored as a reverend. And lastly, in the year 2023, I became a bishop. So that is how, if maybe on social media here and there, people find my name, you know, entitled to a title bishop. That is what I went through. I did not just wake up and then I became a bishop. I was being molded. And all these things, they are not to say if someone is having a position, they are better than others, but that is just a way of giving a responsibility to the young people so that they will feel the sense of responsibility that they cannot mingle with other activities.
Mm.
Yes, because if you have, you are in leader.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yes, because if you have, you are in leadership, you have the feeling that I have to live according to what I talk about.
Mm.
So that is how faith played a role in my life. I all these leadership roles that I have always help me to, you know, be like, wait, I cannot do that.
Mm.
What do people think of me?
Mm.
Exactly.
All right. Now, it's even good that I was also privileged to witness the IM graduation, right? Whereby you were one of the people that even obtained their master's degree. Because right now, you know, one of the most amazing thing is people think we have it easy, or one have it easy because of where they are right now. Now, I want you to share with us some of the challenges that you have, that you faced throughout your academical journey, And like all that you have to do and face just to push and be where you are right now, especially in terms of academics and at the very young ages you are right now, and you already have a master's degree. Now looking now, like taking you back to what happened in high school when you used to smoke, you used to be mingling with some sort of irresponsible, indisciplined learners, and look just where you are now. Maybe what are some of the challenges that you have faced, and what also the message that you have to the youth right now who feel like once you messed up in high school, you messed up and you can't even make it and come out there and thrive, man? Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm so impressed by our discussion, because this is some of the platforms that I have ever prayed for.
Okay.
You know, leading you back to that question you gave me, what about the brothers that you had around? What about people that you used to mingle with?
Mm.
So this is now me giving a comeback to others and, you know, trying to, you know, pull them now to where we are.
Okay.
Personally, during my studies or during my academic life, that is where I learned about discipline, really.
Mm.
Because imagine now, you are a youngster and you are attending lectures and you are meeting different people that, you know, are talking about what is trending according to the youth, or according to the secular program, you know.
Mm.
Obviously, there is a pattern always in a week. Friday is for parties, or Friday is for clubbing and so on. And you are being told that, okay, Friday, guys, is, and you are hearing all these things. And remember, these are the things you used to mingle into.
Mm.
It called for self-discipline, really.
Okay.
It's not because I did not want or I don't want, but I just tell myself I can't.
Mm.
Of course, we are human beings. The human being body, according to biology or even according to teachings, biblical teachings,
mm.
The human body wants to be pleased. It has needs and wants.
Mm.
But if you tell yourself, no, this is not who I am, I think that is what we call having a strong foundation. Just to tell yourself that you have, be peaceful with going through that preparation time, because it will help you to be mature to the point of making strong decisions. Like if I say no, it's a no.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is what I learned. I had challenges. I mean, someone would say, no, there's a party where you are invited. Of course, I would say I'll not turn up. Or I meet people and I'm already put in that situation. I'm already at the environment where people, maybe they are drinking or they are smoking and so on. I just tell myself I can.
Mm.
Yeah. And in most cases, to help myself, I stayed more at home, studying and so on. So I would be visiting the studio back then. I just did anything else that was far from my past life, just to protect myself, because it does not mean we are immune. You are not immune to challenges, but you have to be far away from, try to shun away from anything that would lead you back to your former setbacks. And I also used to, like I said, I believe in teamwork, ne?
Mm.
I always used to make time to be on campus and engaging with those that were more committed. But it's funny how people thought I was so much committed. Maybe, but what I did was I always tried my best to be among the winning team. If I see there are people that are well prepared, they have notes, maybe they've attended lectures more than I did, and the study materials, I have to be close to them.
Mm.
Yeah, and that is how I always found myself succeeding in terms of academics now. And I also now developed that leadership quality that since there are a lot of people that look up to me, I cannot disappoint them. Because the moment there's someone looking up to you, the moment you fail, they will also regard themselves as a failure.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kept my promise that I must finish my undergraduate studies, and immediately as I'm done, if the funds are there, I must continue pursuing my studies. For me, I feel like I'm paying back what I have caused. Yeah, so because I feel like if there were people that used to look at me and they're like, I also want to be a bad boy like Joab. Now, let me try my level best to add the name good to my profile and by maybe, you know, giving back by inspiring the youth.
Okay.
Yes. So that is literally what happened in terms of my academic life. And that happening, I want to encourage others that academics itself is not an easy journey. Life itself in general, it's also not an easy journey. It's not easy, but you have to make strong decisions in life. If you need to take risks, you must calculate them and take them if you have to. It's all about decision making. Even risks can be taken in life as long as you have calculated them. If you say, okay, fine, I want to commit 4 years of my lifetime to studies, or maybe you are working somewhere, you know, as a youth, people have different lives. Someone might finish their grade 12 and get a job somewhere else and maybe gather up funds and continue studying. So if you want to continue studying, take that risk. If you have to resign and go on full time, do that. Because it's for the betterment of your life. You are not doing it for anybody. And once you do that, you will get to find out that there are people that look up to you and they will also follow your path. That is the inspiration.
All right. Job, you know, right now, remember there was a time whereby your parents were not so proud about your living, right? And they took it in their own hands to discipline you and to make sure that you go in the right path. So now, looking at where you are right now, how is the relationship with your parents right now? And that also will reveal us to one of the most thing is young people lack motivation, especially from our parents, black parents, you know, that motivation, that motivation. And motivation from a parent or motivation from home is one of the most things that will even like open your mind, open your eyes. Like there is someone behind you, not just in terms of need, not just in terms of shelter, but someone who truly cares and creating even platforms for you. Now, what advice? First of all, I want you to tell us about your relationship now with your parents, comparing it to the past, and the advice that you have to give to parents who are listening on radio right now on what they should do to also be part of the development of their own children, preparing of a good future for their own children, because there are parents who are too relaxed and just watching their kids doing stuff out there. And sometimes they blame them, and that is too late. What were you doing as a parent? You were not there. You were not present. You are not a present parent. So maybe just to touch there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mepeni. And indeed, a lack of parental involvement will result in the youth living in an undisciplined manner.
Okay.
And personally, my relationship with my parents, you know, back then, of course, I had broken their trust by finding out that, you know, that was who I was, you know. Because, you know, some of the people live, you know, secret lives, and parents would not really know. So that is also already a gap, a supervision gap to parents that follow up on your children's lives.
Okay.
Try to be open with them. Try to find out what is happening in their lives.
Okay.
You know, have the contact details of their teachers. Call them and find out who they are there. Try also, you know, to be open with knowing their friends. Because when you know their friends, then you can know which type of friends your son or daughter is mingling with, and you can easily gatekeep. You know, to gatekeep is to prevent some aspects in entering someone's life, right? In this context. So, obviously, if you know who your son or daughter mingles with, you can easily control and say, no, my son, that person you stay with, I don't want to see you stay with them because they are not disciplined.
Mm.
And when parents communicate with their children, they must be specific.
Okay.
If there is something they don't like, they should mention.
Mm.
And try not to be too soft.
Okay.
Especially in our era where a lot of unacceptable behaviors have been made normal. We have to be really honest with our children and tell them what is not good is not good, and what is bad is bad, and what is good is good. So, and personally, I thank God my parents because they tried their best. I know every parent out there, they might be trying their best, and that should be appreciated. So she always told me what is the right thing to do.
Mm.
And I know if there were times I went out of any of her advices or my parents' advices, my parents, like my father and my mother, it was maybe out of my own interest, but at least they tried.
Okay.
And personally, right now, of course, we do have a very good relationship with them. They know their son is matured now and would not want to mingle with a matured person.
Mm.
Yeah, so I am maybe just drawing a circle around openness.
Okay.
There should be openness between parents and their children.
Okay.
So that if you are, and also not being too strict, but just being honest. Because if you are just open and you are straightforward, your children will be open enough to share what they are going through, and you can easily advise them.
Mm.
Yeah, we have to do away with the culture. I know. Within culture, you know, culture is the way of living. So many people, when you say you must do away with A, B, C, and D, they feel you are destroying the whole culture. But that's not what I mean.
Hmm.
There are, of course, some aspects in our culture that we need to get rid of and some that we need to uphold.
Okay.
For example, the values that were in the African parental system is you don't talk to your parents. They are like kings and so on, because back then, their children were more of just workers.
Mm.
They give birth, and then those children, when they grow, their job is just what? To engage in farming and then provide for the household. You receive the commands, and then you do, whether it's right or wrong. But currently, we are living in a modern world where parents should adopt an open to change approach.
Mm.
You must be open to change. Try to find out what's going on in the lives of the children.
Mm.
If open up to them about sexual education.
Mm.
Yeah, because if the child was raped and she knows you are always not open to listen to them, then they'll keep quiet and then they contract maybe a virus.
Mm.
So, but if you are open, obviously they will tell you. If they have a crush, they will tell you. If they have a boyfriend, they will tell you. Then you can say, no, this is not the right time. Or maybe, no, these are the expectations I want. I need you to achieve this A, B, C, and D, because people have different goals.
Mm.
So at least you guys can have agreements. No, I want you to start the A, B, C, and D, or I want you to get a job, or and so on.
Mm.
I want us to do this. So I feel parents need to open up with their children at a very early stage and start already teaching them ways on dealing with peer pressure, ways on dealing with sexual challenges, because that is, we cannot avoid the fact that sexual challenges are uprising in our modern culture since we have social media there, you know, a lot of content that could, you know, mislead the young generation. And if as a parent you come in and tell them, no, if you go on social media, you must be engaging cyber security to avoid cyber bullying and to avoid abuse from social media bullies, then they will survive.
Mm.
Or you must know that they are, you know, different violent people out there. Some can sexually abuse you online.
Mm.
And be careful with what you post. Do not post images that are revealing, you know, your your private body and so on. So all those aspects, we must be open to change. Instead of just unleashing the beast and say, let them do whatever they want, they are the new generation. We must be open to what are the common trends that are going on with the young generation, and then you can figure out how you as a parent can shape their growth and their development. Yes, of course, we must be open again. I'm emphasizing more on openness. We must be open to allow them to roam and to explore, but we must be always watching, supervising, monitoring. Yeah, that is one of the words I would share or extend to the elders out there.
All right, Joab, this is for you. Now, if maybe you could get an opportunity today, right, just to sit down with your younger self, the Joab who was struggling, the Joab who used to smoke, the Joab who was a little bit lost, what would you tell him today, right now?
Okay.
What would you tell your younger self right now? Remember, you were that person, and today you are into leadership. You are somebody whereby thousands of people are looking up to. If you could tell your younger self, what would you tell that person? And that is just in line with what message do you have with a children? Right? Children, learners in high school, children who are growing up and they don't even want to listen to their parents, children who don't even have a future, somebody just in school and they don't even know what they want to become, people who are really, really, really indisciplined, like even parents are tired, even teachers at school, they are like, oh, yeah, Papa no kulonga, that child is very dangerous. At your very young age, and you are dangerous. So if you could sit with your younger self today, what would you tell yourself? If you could speak to a young person right now listening on radio, what would be your message?
I would look at my younger self and say, young child, do whatever you are going to do, but you must know one day you are going to grow up. And when you are growing, when you are going to grow up, you must know that if you have done and you have taken the wrong steps and you have made the wrong decisions, you are going to regret for the rest of your life. So right now, you must take steps that you know will contribute to the best character in the future. Yes, because children need to be brought up in the right way while they are young, so that when they grow up, they'll never forget. And that is a biblical concept. Teach them the way they should go while they are young, and when they grow up, they will never depart from that way. So I would tell my younger self and say, start planning now. Start planning now. You will never win if you do not begin. And I would also encourage them and inspire them and say, nothing changes until something changes. I will encourage my younger self that draw the person that you want to be in the future and start working on how to become that person right now. You cannot wait to start later. I mean, you find a youngster, they have nothing to do, completely nothing to do. They are not even washing dishes in the house from morning from dusk to dawn. They are watching TV. I would tell my younger self and say, contribute to the wellness of your environment. Avoid littering. And when you are avoiding littering, the physical littering, you know, when you are avoiding to dirtify your environment, it's teaching you also to avoid littering in your mental body and your spiritual body that cannot be seen by anyone.
Okay.
Avoid bad decision making, avoid bad thoughts, avoid bad desires, because these are the things that will lead to the bad activities.
Mm.
Whatever the body thinks or whatever the body desires, it will do.
Mm.
So, you know, avoid watching the wrong content, whether it's on online and so on.
Mm.
Build yourself, engage more in reading the right materials that will inspire you to become a better person. Engage in education. Take education as a very powerful tool that can make a change to the world.
Mm.
And then you shall know that you shall reap the fruits when you grow.
Mm.
So that is the message to my younger self.
Mm.
Those that are just upcoming now, avoid mingling in the activities that you don't understand what their purpose is.
Mm.
Ask yourself questions before you begin practicing something.
Mm.
Is this who I am? Are these people there for me?
Mm.
Do they really love me by making me join them?
Mm.
And if I join them, will I make my parents happy? Is there to find out who I am?
Mm.
So, you know, the younger self of mine that is listening should know that whatever they do, whether it's hidden, later on it will come outside. It will reveal itself.
Mm.
Because I know of youngsters. I know of one youngster that lost his life because of lung cancer.
Mm.
And the reason being was because that youngster used to smoke a lot.
Mm.
And it's very sad. Every time I was knocking off coming from my undergraduate classes, I would find them sitting down in a tree smoking.
Mm.
Just to hear that they have passed away, it is sad. It's a sad moment. And I would now tell my younger self that avoid engaging in activities that will harm your body.
Mm.
Because now you will not mind, but later in the future, your body will react.
Mm.
You know, and this is both for the girl child and the boy child. The activities that the girl child can get involved in, that will affect them in the future.
Mm.
Same applies to the boy child.
Mm.
I don't want to go deep into details. They know. It's not that the younger generation does not know.
Mm.
They know, but they are ignorant because they are not motivated. Sometimes you need someone to motivate you, even though you know what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
That is why you find, even though the curriculum is giving their lessons on how to prevent HIV and AIDS, how to handle with depression, you know, in life skills and so on, the government will still fund programs like, self-awareness programs, mental health programs, because people can ignore when they lack motivation.
Mm.
So, I would tell my younger self and say, get a mentor while you are young.
Okay.
A mentor who is in the status where you want to achieve or where you want to be.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you want to become a minister, you cannot stay with the drunkard.
Mm.
You must stay with those that are in the line of ministry.
Mm.
Those that are in the line of community leadership, national leadership, regional leadership.
Mm.
If you are a youngster and you are at primary level or at secondary level, campaign for LRC leadership.
Mm.
And you will get exposed to leadership approaches.
Mm.
So if you want to become a crafty person or creative person, start now.
Mm.
Start figuring out ways on how to get your instruments or your materials. Then you start drawing. Start drawing. So that by the time you are grown, You are already used to that. You have become an expert. Even if there are no jobs in the future, you will be found already having a talent that is already well developed. So the younger generation really needs to be exposed to extracurricular activities that will prepare them for the real life, and specifically that will help them to become self-employed in the future. Because that this challenge we are having in our society of unemployment could be addressed in that manner. The curriculum might or should be revised and incorporate activities like this, extracurricular activities or vocational skills somewhere there from early childhood or from this primary education phase, so that by the time they grow, they are already used. We must look at, you know, education systems of developed countries like China and all other places where when a child is growing up, they are already being taught how to cook. Okay. If they are, they are having interest in cooking, they are already being taught how to fix things so that if they are into mechanical works or technical works, they will figure out their way. We need to learn to help our children understand themselves, self-awareness, and also to identify their interests. Because sometimes we find our children, when they grow up into teenagers, they don't know what decision to make. They don't know which study to take because their upbringing was not well led. Mentorship is really needed, and motivation is needed among the youngsters. That is the younger self. The younger self, I would want my younger self to receive mentorship and to be shaped into who they are supposed to be in the future. Yeah, attention should not be given when someone is grown already, and that time they might already have lost it. That is where I end for now.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Joab. you are such a man of wisdom, man.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is really drawing us closer to the end of our program. But while we are here, while we even still have Joab on board, I would like to take this moment wholeheartedly just to appreciate you, Joab, for joining us and sharing such a very powerful and inspiring story. Thank you for your honesty, you being very come out and stand out with your courage, with your willingness to open up to all these challenges that you have to share with us, the one that we have been going throughout your journey and all of that. It's not easy. It's not easy, man. You revisiting that chapter again, the chapter of so many difficulties, and you have to come here and be reminded of it again. You know, the setbacks, the disappointments, those personal struggles, it's not something that is easy, but you found courage, you found confidence just to come out here and share your experience. You couldn't even imagine how many lives you have touched today. So thank you so much. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to always have you on the Ex-Convict Diaries show.
Thank you so much, and blessings to the nation listening.
You are welcome. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting very closer there. And believe me, you have been listening to Joab Willing, and his story reminds us that life is not always defined by where we begin, but it's just by the decision we make when we face with all this adversity. He has demonstrated that even when circumstances seems to be very, 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 very impossible, transformation is still possible. We have to have faith. We have to go through faith. We have to be determined. We have to go through education. One have to be educated to come out and stand out with boldness and feel like, no, I can do this again, regardless of the worst that I have to go through. You have to do some commitments to your personal growth, to your to you having to build the life that you really want to serve as an example to so many young people, because you won't be young forever. You'd want to be a leader whereby everybody's looking at you and be like, yo man, I want to be that person. I want to be like him. So history really stand out most is that we did not allow, or we should, I mean, history, stand out that he did not allow those challenges to become his identity. And you too, don't allow your own struggles, your own burdens to identify you. You should turn your struggles into those lessons. You should turn your setbacks into opportunities. You should turn your experience into a source of encouragement of others, just like how Jonah.